Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 634, 633A?
this is almost like an annual.
Yeah, there we go.
You know, or a variant cover.
Yes. So I was on vacation last week on a socially distanced romantic getaway with the wife. Don't worry, I was not socially distanced.
So wait,
from her.
You and the wife were socially distanced?
Oh, no.
Oh.
Oh, no.
So that kind of defeats the purpose.
Yes. Depends on how you feel about your wife.
I guess that's fair.
Was the first wife. Absolutely.
That's a court mandated socially distance.
Cannot
that's not
be socially like, distanced enough. So I wasn't here, and then there wasn't really a big movie this week, and so Joe and then Kevin had scheduling conflicts, so then Joe came up with the idea of, like, well, why don't you just talk about Snyder Cut? So here we are.
If there's any of us that needed to talk about this movie.
Real spoiler, 633A, release the O'Keefe cut.
Yeah, and I feel bad for whatever poor the guy who was our editor now. For whatever he's going to have to do.
He's got to sit through this topic twice.
Something tells me.
Well,
be wrong, and you could have fallen in love for 4.5 hours.
Perhaps. So before we dig into that, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Wherever you get a podcast from, you can find us. Be sure while you're there to follow us so you never miss an episode. And of course, check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page and join the group. And the group is called the League of Show Sharers because we are hoping you will share an episode. And last week, boy, you guys came out in force and shared episodes.
Boy, howdy.
I don't know if they'll be more excited or less excited this week. It's kind of could be a real ego check. So
I guess for me, yeah.
Yeah. So people who were kind enough to share an episode last week, here we go. Glenn Cougar Mellon Brewer, Julianne Jordan, Librarian Cynthia, Chris Williams, Jeff Wildman, Gabriel Lugo, Pat Andy, Tammy Sherman Powers, Laura Connolly Quiddick, Ralph Tribble, Heather Sachs, Ron Johnson, Travis Tewitt, John Friedman, Chris Falls, Brad Hyen, Chris Magic Man, Chris Sanders, Emin Miller Film Review, We Have a Hulk, Collateral Cinema, Matt Naglia, a.k.a. Jeanette, Binge Movies, The Movie Journey, It's a Fandom Thing, Josh Dykstra, Cinema Recall, Geek to Me Radio, Invasion of the Remake, Ronnie Castle, Evan McKenzie, Colby Mack, In Session Film, Ryan Terry from the Forza Crowd Podcast, Feelin' Film, Mike and Oscar, and maybe the best League of Show Sharer ever,
oh,
Tom O'Keefe.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was going to
yeah.
be. That's what I thought that was
since
going.
Since I wasn't on the episode.
Yeah, the Brad Hyen rule. Yeah,
the Brad Hyen rule.
So. Is that your first Brad Hyen rule?
No. I did it a while back. I forget which one I wasn't here for, but I shared it because I was, and that's just to basically just to torment Brad Hyen because that's always fun.
I like it.
And so that's just a little dig there. So anyway,
sounds good.
Also, don't forget we have a Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content and you help out the show whenever we need new equipment or to pay the editor, things like that. Just helps keep the wheels moving over here. So
homeboy's going to earn his paycheck this week.
Lots of chicken noises, maybe. I don't know. We shall see.
Maybe not for me. I got mine out on the last one.
so anyway, there's all of that. Let's dig in, shall we?
So I don't think we have to go over what this is. I think it's pretty obvious.
Yes.
What this is. I did want to touch on briefly before we get going is there has been this debate about toxic fandom recently.
Yes.
And I feel like it exists
absolutely
around this movie.
And yes.
It has become
around, and I
no
don't,
more.
I feel like it's more around Zack Snyder than this movie. Obviously is getting the focus of it because of Zack Snyder. But I feel like there's something about Zack Snyder that draws these guys out. And I don't. And it is guys,
maybe,
for the most part, right?
Totally.
And I don't get it. And like now they're like they're review bombing Godzilla versus King Kong.
Godzilla,
like
because
like
Warner Brothers won't restore the Snyder universe.
Yeah, and who knows if they will or won't or should or shouldn't, but it's just like, all I could think when I saw that story was like, man, these guys are like my ex-wife. Even when they get what they want, they're not happy.
Exactly.
Like, they're
exactly. Yes, that's exactly right.
Pit of neediness, and that nothing will ever make them happy. Not one thing, which is why you don't engage with people like this. Like, and I'm not saying that they shouldn't.
We said that this is a bad, to release this cut after everything that had happened, I feel like is a bad idea. Not because the movie shouldn't be out there, but because you're giving in.
Because it's given a stray cat milk.
Right.
And I will say, this is better than the other one.
Easily, but the like, bar's so
like,
low.
So, like, even though I don't think they should have done it, and I'm not really a huge Zack Snyder fan, I don't hate him, but I'm just like, you didn't get my card either. Like, I don't understand the passion, but this is definitely better than the other one. But here's a good life lesson for the kids out there. Just because one thing is better than another thing doesn't mean either of those things is good.
Yeah. Right. The grass isn't always greener.
And this is
sometimes your dog pisses on both sides of the fence.
Yeah, what this movie desperately needed was Topher Grace. Not as an actor, but as an editor. Like, this is a good 2.5 hour movie that can't stop playing with itself. And
so here's the question though. Is it a good 2.5 hour movie or like because the ultimate cut of BVS is 3.5 hours? And if you watch that version,
no,
that version also, I'm not saying do it,
I'm not.
But I'm saying like that version, the 3.5 hour version of BVS does make more sense than the other cut. So it's like, I thought this was supposed to be two movies. I thought this was supposed to be a Justice League 1 and a Justice League 2.
There's no way, at least in this current format, this could have ever played as two movies.
I didn't think so either, but I was like, man, 4 hours. If you wanted to release this as 4 hours in a theater, that's a lot. You're asking a lot.
You are asking a lot. You would need an intermission, maybe multiple. But this doesn't play like the way the narrative flows, and I use the term narrative loosely. The way the narrative flows, like there's not like a clear dividing point like at the 2 hour mark, because honestly the first 2 hours of this movie is prologue. Like this movie does almost nothing for the first 2 hours except set things up in a pretty slow manner. And then
I heard a joke where WB was like, okay, we know that the Marvel has done 10 movies to get them to their point.
Yeah.
Let's do the same thing. And Zack Snyder's like, no. Just let me make two movies at 6.5 hours and we're good to go.
Yeah, I mean, and they still have the problem after all this of that they haven't earned this movie, right? And
not even close.
Part of what makes this movie so slow, besides the fact that it's
literally slow, right? Like 40% of the movie is in slow motion.
Slow-mo, yeah.
Is that, like, they have to stop and kind of tell you who people are and give you origin stories and, you know what I mean? And
to so three it's like, new characters.
Yeah, and when you do an Avengers movie, they've done all that on the side, and you're either up to speed or you're not, and you're they're off to the races,
but
and
if
they can
but
actually
if you're,
tell
if you're not,
the story.
You can go rent one of those movies.
Absolutely.
Be like, oh, okay, this is where Scarlett Johansson shows
up.
Yeah,
I mean,
this is where
the Avengers or MCU really benefits from the fact of, one, that each movie pretty much makes all of the money in the world, right? So that's helpful.
Right.
But
yeah,
also
right.
because we live in an age where you can go and revisit these movies anytime you want. And that's really pretty much only been a thing over the last, you know, 25-ish years. I mean, you could make the argument for you can make the argument for home video in the 80s, but it was still like it was a lot more difficult, and a store might only have, once a movie got old, one or two copies of it. And
right.
we're now in the age of digital, like you can go watch them whenever you want on demand and get caught up if it's important to you. And so but like
sure.
so when they
or
get
you can watch a clip on YouTube, not even the whole movie. Like show me if you want to see the introduction of the Black Widow, type it into YouTube.
Right.
There's a 5-minute clip and you're done.
Totally. And so they earned their team up movie, right? Like and,
absolutely. Yes.
And so they can just tell the story. And the thing is that this story, you know, running time be damned, doesn't really feel all that epic, right? Like I felt the weight of the danger, or pardon the mixed metaphor, crisis in Avengers. Infinity War Endgame, right? Like that felt like a real threat. It was a real challenge. Where here it's just them chasing after MacGuffins, and it's like that's every superhero movie practically. And
yeah, there's no mention in Man of Steel. I don't really count Suicide Squad because that doesn't really tie in, besides it has Affleck and Harley in it, like
right.
or Affleck, I guess. But there's no mention of Mother Boxes.
Yeah.
There's no mention of anything in those movies, where in the Marvel stuff, we've got Infinity Stones, we've got Thanos in event, like we've got all that stuff being set up.
It's been
going forward.
It's been playing out in the background for a decade by the time we get to it. And
right,
so,
right, right.
And then you're seeing all the, and then it's the fun aspect of you're seeing all these characters interacting with each other that maybe haven't met up yet or haven't interacted in this capacity. And I mean, obviously some of them have, but not all of them. And
sure.
And so like that's a lot of fun. And you know, watching this movie, all I could think was, this is the Fast and Furious of superhero movies, right? Like,
sure,
it does all the things.
Go,
but
go on.
It's completely joyless. And like
yes, I would agree.
Even with Avengers having like super high stakes, right? The whole universe is going to disappear, and it's just, you know, like, but it was still fun, and it was still had.
Oh yeah, you get the you know the I think of that movie, and I think of the one scene that always comes to my mind is like the fun scene is where Bruce Banner shows up,
yeah,
and he's like, I'm always angry, and he smashes that giant thing in the face.
Yeah.
And then Captain America just says, Hulk, smash. And he just smiles and jumps off and just starts smashing
right.
things.
Yeah.
Like, that's the funness of it.
Right.
And I agree. Like, that is completely devoid in these. And there's a little bit. It's funny, like, Joss Whedon tried to punch it up.
And that went too far.
So far.
It was.
And there are moments in this of levity. A little bit, like the Flash and Batman.
I was
going to
say,
there.
I think a better way to say it is there are flashes of levity.
Yes, yes. which I got into on the last episode. This isn't Barry Allen.
No, this is Wally West.
Get that out of the way. Thank you very much.
Right, like
yes,
his
dad's in jail, sure, but
they called him Barry Allen, but they wrote him like Wally West, and it's a distinction that right. matters to only the nerdiest of nerds. But,
correct.
But and I'm also like, how did he get the Speed Force if he doesn't
That's
work
what
in the
I
crime
said.
Lab yet? Like he gets his powers in the crime lab, and so he's and then movie ends with him getting a job at the crime lab. I'm like, well, where did? But how did? What did the?
What?
So.
But I mean, we'll get a Flash movie.
Yeah.
And maybe they'll tell us there. I don't know.
One of my favorite memes I saw coming out of this movie is the scene where he's in the dog shop and he touches the window and it shatters when he touches the glass door and it shatters. And
yes.
Did you see this one? And it says,
no.
And it says, it was something like, this works because Windows does not support Flash.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That is well done.
Well done indeed. And so,
indeed.
But yeah, so like, I mean, honestly, Flash steals this movie. Like,
I don't like this Flash.
I loved him.
Interesting.
I want a whole movie of this guy. Like,
guess what? You're going to get it next year.
Good, because I thought, like I said, I thought Flash stole the movie. Maybe just because everything else in this movie is so dour that when he comes in, it kind of brightens up.
Sure.
But
his ending scene is the most Barry Allen that we get of this version of the Flash.
Yeah.
Where he's hurt and he's trying to fight through it. I said before that, like, it's a shame
crazy
that we
when he's
why
in that scene, because she's like, that is such poor running form. It is not efficient. Like,
he does run really weird.
Like, and
like,
I was
his
like, well,
arms
I think
are all
trying
kind
to
of
show
like
that
all
like
over the place.
He's really trying hard, and he's really, and she's like, but that doesn't make you run faster. That makes you run slower. She's like, if someone's trying to win the Olympics, they don't look like that, and they really want to win the Olympics. And she's like, and you know, obviously, we have this fitness podcast, and so she's learned a lot. And she's actually is a certified personal trainer. She doesn't teach anybody,
but she
took all the classes and everything, so she knows what she's talking about. And,
sure.
But she was just like, ugh, that doesn't know. That's making him run slower. And I was like, well, Speed Force?
He does run very. It's almost like Ezra Miller doesn't know how to run.
I kind of think he might not. And but I also get, like, they're going for a look, because in the comic books, when you see him running really fast, he is kind of like elongated and leaning forward like that. So they're trying to replicate that. My guess is he's on wires to even lean forward to that degree.
Oh, probably.
And still like make those motions. So like I think that's a choice. I don't even know that that's a choice he made. I think that's probably a choice Zack Snyder made and was like, this is how it's going to look. And what do we got to do to get you there? But
right. Yeah, I think so. Originally in the George Miller Justice League movie, it was Adam Brody was going to be Barry Allen, and it's like, that god damn it, like, that works, like,
yeah,
that he's got that. It's almost like Grant Gustin. Like, I kind of feel bad for Grant Gustin because he's an amazing Barry Allen.
Yeah.
And I think Adam Brody also has that X factor. No crossed pun intended.
I think this Barry Allen Wally West issue they have is emblematic of the entire problem of the DCU, right? Which is that they want to skip to C, and they don't want to start at A. And so it's like, well, they can't just have Wally West come into existence as Wally. You know, they can't have a Wally West without a Barry Allen, right? And,
right.
And for the people
right.
that are unaware, Wally West was Kid Flash and then becomes the Flash after Barry Allen dies. And Barry Allen was not the first Flash, but he's the Silver Age Flash. So
the Silver Age Flash,
right.
Yeah.
And so but Wally West has a more modern sensibility. He's funny. He's a funny character. I really like those early Flash issues when they brought him back.
Oh, it's so good.
And this alludes to that where it's like he's got to be constantly eating because his metabolism is so. And
that's
like
that's a Wally West gimmick.
And he works out a deal with the hospital to where he's going to deliver organs for transplants in exchange for health care. Like, I loved all the little ways they figured out of, like, how would a superhero function in the world with
right.
these skills. And like, that was great stuff. And mm-hmm. But the thing is that they want to start there, but there is no Wally West without a Barry Allen. So they end up always doing this kind of weird thing of, like, we'll call him Barry Allen, but we'll write it like Wally West. But Wally West works because he's operating under the shadow of this legend, and
he's constantly trying to be out of the shadow of Barry Allen.
Yeah. And so it's,
yeah.
Yeah, and again,
it's a weird move, considering we also have a Flash on TV. Like,
right.
There's a version of this character on TV that's very different from the version we get here.
Yeah, and I don't watch it, so I don't know.
It's very good.
Yeah.
I definitely recommend it. It's a very good show. Very deep comic nerddom
gotcha.
Takes place on that show.
Gotcha.
Ezra Miller shows up as the Flash on that show. How about that?
Oh, and they're like crisis crossover.
Yes,
or they
yes. They cool. They end up talking to each other. But I think what the people want to know, Tom, is what did you think? We know where we where most of us stood on Man of Steel and Dawn of Justice, and last year, no, 2017's Justice League. What did you think of this movie?
I again, like, there are parts of this movie that are pretty solid. Like, I didn't like it. Did not need to be 4 hours.
Sure.
And I just wish they would have tightened it up. Like, I think that there's a solid movie in here for the most part. Nothing approaching what Marvel has done, but certainly better than the Justice League movie we got. Certainly better than than I think Man of Steel.
Interesting. Okay.
But I still it just goes on forever. And like
there's also just the tone, right? Like it's just. I don't.
When they're trying to, you know, it's a problem when they're trying to save the world, and your first thought is like, "But should you? Like, like, what are we saving here again? What are we?"
I did think that. Go ahead.
It was just so much. It's a fascinating look at kind of how the sausage is made. Ultimately, though, in terms of how much film they made. That was not in the film.
90%.
Yeah.
90% of this movie was done, and then they brought in... So 90% of this movie was done, and I think that Warner Brothers looked at it and was like, throw it out.
Yeah.
And then they bring in Joss Whedon, and I think I read that he wrote like 80 pages of script. So he comes in and does his thing, and it's flabbergasting to me that they looked at his version and was like, that's much better.
I think they thought it was more like Marvel. And that they were like, oh, this is the tongue in cheek funny Marvel stuff, and it's an overcorrection, right? Like they thought everything needed to be like Batman, you know, grim and gritty, and then when that wasn't working, and Joss Whedon came in and was like, here's a Marvel version of your DC superheroes, and they were like, that's what we need, and it was an overcorrection, and there's a way to do both, and like. This movie has moments of it, again, mostly with the Flash, like when he injects humor, and there's a little bit of humor from Aquaman, but I still think my favorite scene is Aquaman, protector of the seas, chucking a whiskey bottle into the
water.
What?
Like, yeah, what are you doing? What are you doing?
What is that?
You're
about?
Kind of defeating the you are the reason that the Atlanteans hate the surface world. Like
it's like watching Smokey the Bear flick a lit cigarette to the forest. I'm like,
I did find it weird that, and obviously the Aquaman movie hadn't come, like, was in very early stages of production, but Amber Heard has a British accent in this movie, and she does not in Aquaman. Like they get rid of the air bubble talky bubble thing is gone. Like, that's not in Aquaman.
Right.
She loses her accent, and Volko looks completely different. So it's just like, so maybe that Aquaman isn't in this world. Like, maybe it's its own thing, and they're just, I don't know. I thought it was very weird.
It's so easy to have her ADR that and just, you know, get rid of the accent.
Especially at this point.
Right. She needs the work. And,
oh, well, maybe that's why. They're like, no. Okay.
And also, you're like, how hard could it be to CGI a bubble over? Like, that doesn't seem like.
Oh, so true.
Didn't seem like that'd be the biggest
just
challenge.
Just get rid of that little thing.
So what's with the 4:3? Like, is he just trolling people? What is with the aspect ratio? Like, oh, I want to make this epic thing, but like, but you have to watch it on a Game Boy. Like, what is.
You have to watch it on a tube TV.
Right.
Like, to appreciate.
What is that about?
What does IMAX run? Does IMAX run 4:3?
I think it runs a little close. It is a little bit more square. I'm not 100%, but
I think that was the goal, right? Like, I think they want this to be in theaters, and they want it to be in IMAX.
It's 1.431. I don't know what that translates to.
Sure. That's this is math. Why, of all the times we need Kevin here.
He doesn't know how to do the math on that.
He's got an abacus, goddammit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's what I had heard, is that the original plan was for this to be an IMAX, and just the way it was, the 4:3:4 home release, I guess, keeps the ratio intact for IMAX if it ever gets far.
Like he didn't have to remask it.
Right.
Yeah.
I think. But I mean, I don't know. But that was the most, out of all the things in this movie, that's the most jarring. I'm like, God, I bought this new TV.
Right.
So that I could watch stuff like in the best quality, and you son of a bitch, you put it in 4:3.
So I guess I was going to say maybe their hope is that they can go back and re-release it.
I think
in
that's
IMAX,
the plan.
But honestly, if he shot the thing for IMAX, but then again, at the same time, if he shot the thing for IMAX, there aren't enough IMAX screens in this country. So most people would have been watching this on a regular screen.
Yes.
If it had come out theatrically. So, like, that's not really an excuse either. Like,
he's the anti-Nolan.
Yeah, I know,
Nolan's
right?
Nolan's like, I'm doing 70 millimeter. It's like, oh, I'll see your 70 millimeter. I'm doing it in 4:3.
Yeah.
How about that?
I'm doing it in 8 millimeter.
I'm doing it in 8-bit. What do you think about that, Mr. Nolan?
I'm releasing a film strip. Take that.
You got to use a crank to watch my movie.
It's going to be on a Nickelodeon, not the channel, an actual Nickelodeon. I bought the rights from the Edison estate.
And I'm only going to use it in one theater, with one screen, and one seat.
One showing.
One
done.
But guess what? We have air conditioning, so you'll be all right.
But no popcorn.
It's funny, we were talking about the timeline of the DC stuff.
I was struggling with, I couldn't remember when this movie was supposed to come out in relation to the other movies, and so I was like,
so this would have come out in 2017.
And I don't know what that means. So before, I guess before Aquaman?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Everything else, right? So the Dark Knight, so we're not even, when Marvel's kicking off their shared universe, Warner Brothers are already behind the ball. Because they haven't started anything yet, right?
Because the Dark Knight stuff is just wrapping up.
Yeah. So then 2011. So we're... what year is Avengers? 2013? 2012?
I don't know.
I think Avengers is 2012.
Iron Man was 2009, right?
Eight?
Okay.
Because it came out the same time as Dark Knight. In 2011, they put out the Green Lantern. Like,
okay.
So we've got Dark Knight, 2008, Iron Man. 2011 is Green Lantern. 2012 is Avengers. And then Warner Brothers is like, oh, 2013 is Man of Steel. And then in 4 years, we've got the Justice League.
Yeah.
So it's just like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Yeah. Why? You can't get this right. And I said, stop making Superman and Batman movies. You don't need those. You don't need those movies. Like, are they fun? No, not right now. But
yeah,
you know.
And it seems like maybe that's the direction they're going with. You know, with Black Adam and Doctor Fate. And as someone who owns a bunch of Doctor Fate comics, man, I like couldn't be happier.
How brilliant is that casting, though?
It is pretty good. My only concern is
that's
his age, like long term. How long? You know, because he's no kid.
Oh, sure.
But Pierce Brosnan. Is great. We should say it out
with
loud.
The beard.
No, yeah, but. But yeah, like I have all those Dr. Fate comics from the 80s.
That's good
like
stuff.
I've got all of those, and I'm just like, because they were worthless.
Yeah, I mean, of course they are. Everything's worthless until like, oh, by the way, this character like I have these Invincible comics.
Yeah,
for the cartoon
that's
coming out, like it's they're all blowing up.
I've got
like crazy
complete run on the Boys because I was like, oh, Garth Ennis, I'll buy it. You know,
yeah, sign me up.
Yeah.
So, but. Yeah, it's just, I think that the idea of leading your Avengers with the big two, you don't need anymore. And you can't, because you're just telling the same story over and over and over.
You've got to introduce
people to The Flash, to Wonder Woman, sort of. I think she probably deserves her own movie.
Yeah.
Aquaman, Green Lantern, if you're going to put him in a movie. And Cyborg, maybe not Cyborg. Maybe Cyborg is a character you introduce in Justice League. But you are trying to cram 10 pounds of shit into a 2-pound bag.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to rush things and you lose. And then this one, I think, does a pretty good job of establishing those characters. It's weird to get an Aquaman appearance considering we've already had, what, like a $1 billion movie with him in it where he's the lead. But I think that introducing the Flash here is really good. It's very Zack Snyder-y, but like him in the dog shop and punching through the window, like that's all good stuff.
That's good stuff. I just didn't like it. Just felt like it was from another movie. I mean, and from a better movie. But I also like I didn't. It just felt. I don't know how to describe it, but it just reminded me of like those superhero movies from like the 90s where it's like they have their three action scenes written and then they try to get and then they don't know what to do to get to each action scene. Like it just felt like they wrote the scene and then tried to figure out where to put it in the movie. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And
yeah.
The Marvel
There's
movies
a lot of that
never feel that way. They never feel that way.
No. Maybe they just need to shuck this whole thing, you know?
Yeah.
And they need a Kevin Feige, and they don't have one.
Yeah.
And I don't know who that person is. Like, Bruce Timm is the only name that really, like, pops into my head. If you don't know who Bruce Timm is, Bruce Timm is the guy responsible for all of the amazing, like, Batman the Animated Series, Superman, Justice League, Justice League Unlimited.
And maybe they don't need a name. Did you know Kevin Feige before MCU started?
No, that's true. That's very true. I didn't know who that guy was.
They need to go to TV. And they need to get a TV. I think they need to get a TV showrunner. They need some money. They need someone because that's what they're doing. They're making a television show that they're releasing theatrically. And
sure.
But they're only making like 4 episodes a year, right? Essentially.
Right.
And,
yeah. Right. Right. Right.
It's but they need someone that. You know, in the 70s, you know, you had the rise of the director as auteur. I think we've talked about this before. And this is the age of producer is auteur. And they need someone that can project manage this and oversee the whole thing and then farm out the directing, as it were, you know. And I know some directors hate that. Like, that's, you know... That's why you get pushback from certain directors that are like, they'll never make a Marvel movie because basically they hire the directors to handle the talky stuff.
Yeah.
And then they've got people to shoot the action. But also, like, here's the thing. Their movies don't suck. Right. And so,
yeah,
like
even their bad ones aren't terrible.
Right. And so like, so even I get why a director might chafe at that. And if you don't want to do it, then by all means, don't do it. But like.
Right.
You can't argue with the result. It's working exceedingly well. I mean, not just from a box office standpoint, although from a box office standpoint, but
don't get me wrong.
But from a creative standpoint, I mean, these MCU movies are good, and some of them are great. And like their worst movie is okay, right? Like, where DC's best movie is
okay.
I'd say their best movies are good. Wonder Woman, I think, gets pretty close to great. I don't know if it...
Yeah,
it,
I would agree with that.
You know,
I think if you take out that last action beat, I think it's a great movie.
Yeah.
I don't like that action beat at all, but...
It's just, I mean, the Wolverine'd it, right? Like, they didn't...
Yeah, they absolutely did, yeah.
They didn't have the courage or their conviction to... And so they, like, oh, and then she fights the boss and the video game's over. And
right.
But
did you see that he's in this movie?
Oh, is he?
David Thewlis as Ares is fighting alongside Zeus in like that big action.
Oh, I guess that's kind of
set
cool,
piece.
Yeah. I thought there'd be more of an allusion to the fact of like when they showed the original fight, they had Hercules there. That Superman was our Hercules. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I feel like I will say in the Whedon cut, I do kind of feel more like that
and
when he
honestly,
kind of shows up and he.
I remember nothing about that movie.
So it's his entrance is pretty much the exact same.
Okay.
Like it's all the only difference is he's wearing the red and blue instead of the black. Which I got to tell you, I don't get the love for the black suit.
I don't either.
I mean, it's fine. I get it. Like, it looks cool, but like...
When they're stealing the body and they're like, you know, oh, well, what's the worst that could happen? My first thought was, well, he could come back with a mullet.
That's the worst case scenario.
Yes. Let me write these.
They have to give him.
Don't hire Josh. We let me punch these things up. Yeah, that's right. A good line. And that would have... that would be in the trailer. If I,
if you couldn't,
you
I mean,
had
he
the
could
Flash be like, he could come back with a mullet. Like, that's, come on.
Here's the problem, though. Mullets are popular again. So it would, you know, like,
well, they weren't when this movie was supposed to come out.
That's true. That's a good point. That's a good point. So, like, but his entrance is pretty much the same.
Yeah.
With the exception, he's got some lines where he's just like, I'm a big fan of truth and justice, and punches Steppenwolf. Where here in the Snyder cut, he doesn't have any lines.
Yeah.
He just stands there like a boss and destroys this guy. And I will say, we've said before, the Steppenwolf character is a million times better in this version because he has a reason for doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
Instead of like, I'm a bad guy and I smash things.
My job is to do bad things. Yeah.
Yeah, right, right.
But I still didn't understand, like they're like the mother boxes were on this world and Darkseid couldn't find them. And it's like, so he's only lost one battle in, like, two millennia, and he doesn't remember where it was?
Right.
Like, I mean...
That is a weird... I do agree, because, like, I think that he knows that the anti-life equation is there, because you see all these symbols during that fight.
Yeah.
Like, so did he just forget that it was there?
And it's like, that's such a DC thing, anti-life equation. Like,
right.
You mean death? What I mean,
like, well, because I mean, they can't court death because there's a
I'm
guy
so
on the
thirsty.
Other.
Somebody
there's a guy on the other
a
one.
Bottle of anti-dryness. Like,
what? I'm hungry. Can I have that anti-hungry burger, please?
In the early scene where Wonder Woman is fighting. This is just
murdering
like
people.
This is a small example of, and explosions only go forward.
Right.
Kids are okay. Like, they would at least not be able to hear. She'd be like, you're safe now. And they'd be like, what?
Yeah.
What now?
When that little girl says, can I be like you? And I was like, do you want to be? Because she just legit blew a guy up in front of you. And you're like, you're the coolest Wonder Woman.
Yeah, that was but I love when she asks who they are and they describe themselves as, and I wrote this down because it made me laugh. We're reactionary terrorists. Who describes themselves as reactionary? I'm a reactionary terrorist.
I'm more of a reactionary terrorist. I'm going to wait for something to happen, then I'll terrorize.
I don't think terrorists typically describe themselves as terrorists, right? Like, I think if you were to go find Osama bin Laden, not that you could, but, you know, and be like, he'd be like, no, I'm not a terrorist. Like, you describe me as a terrorist, but I, you know what I mean? Like,
it is weird, though, like, when they, so you've got, like, this terrorist cell, a reactionary terrorist group, and where on Falcon and the Winter Soldier is you have a terrorist group that wants life to go back to the blip. Like, they said that, like, that's the protagonist or the antagonist in that show, is there's a group that thinks that the world was better before they brought everybody back.
Okay.
So it's just like, you kind of have the same thing going on in this. I mean, these terrorists don't last long in Wonder Woman because she kills them all.
Because they're just chess pieces from a screenwriter, right? Like they're just there to like, oh, we need an action beat with Wonder Woman. She'll fight terrorists, right? Like that's where, like,
I mean,
Winter Soldier, which I haven't watched yet, but what you just described sounds great, right? Like it's like,
yeah,
because it builds on the world that they're in, right?
And it
makes sense, especially with what we're seeing with the, you know, pandemic deniers and anti-maskers. It makes sense that there would be people that were like, no, let's go back to where half the world was dead. There would be people
it was much nicer when I didn't have to deal with my dead neighbor.
Yeah, like, oh, traffic was a breeze. And then I also, when they go to, I can never say the island that Wonder Woman lives on.
Themyscira.
What is it?
Themyscira.
I was going to call it Theramecia. And so
it's definitely a choice, but all right.
So there's just a scene where, like, you're sitting there guarding the mother box, and they all, like, have a panic when it starts to crack open.
Right.
And I was like, we're literally watching Amazon deliver a box right now.
That's exactly what we were. What? Yes, Amazon delivery was on point. Yeah. Well, sort of on point. They dropped the box.
Yeah,
you know. But yeah, and I did like that scene. Like I thought it was a cool. Here's the thing. Like, and we've said it a million times about Zack Snyder. He's a cool director, right? Like he does cool things with
visually.
Film.
Yeah. Like I
visually. Visually.
He's one of those directors who I don't know should have ever graduated to directing. Like I think he should have stayed a DP. He should have been the first household name DP and then let another director handle the other parts of the equation. Cause
I think his view on superheroes is Watchmen, right? Like he gets mm-hmm. Watchmen. He understands that world. He understands 300.
No, I don't think he does. And I liked, I liked Watchmen.
Yeah, I did too.
But I liked Watchmen a lot. Like I don't just hate everything he does, you know? And Dawn of the Dead was great.
So good. And 300's good. I like 300 a lot.
Absolutely. But I think what he doesn't get about Watchmen, right, is that it's a reaction to superheroes. Right.
It's like the anti-superhero. Yeah.
Right. He thinks this is a cool way for superheroes to be. He doesn't get that was a commentary on don't fall in love with superheroes too much, because if you really had them, this is what it would look like. And this
well, they're
is
also
what it would...
they're garbage people, just like you and me. Not you. Right. Because we're not garbage people. But like every man, you know,
and,
like your Night Owl can't get his card because he's impotent, but when he puts on the suit, then he's good to go.
And yeah, and most people given these sorts of powers would not be altruistic. In the same way that when most people have billions of dollars, they're not altruistic, right?
Right.
They're D-bags that just are hoarders, but for money. You know?
Sure. No, that's exactly right.
And so I don't think he gets that part. Like, I think he got enough of it to make the movie well because the source material was so strong and he followed
it. He didn't really deviate it.
Some would say slavishly, but I mean, he basically treated that comic book like a storyboard. So with the except, and then for some reason put an octopus in this movie.
One of the things that I love about that TV show is that they're like, you know, that Zack Snyder thing, forget it.
Yeah.
Like in this TV show, the octopus really showed up.
Yes.
So we're going to go ahead and play off of that. Which
yes,
I
it
loved.
Did. But yeah, so I don't know that he fully does get Watchmen. I don't think
that's
he
fair.
Really
that's fair.
Gets that it's a commentary on, like, I don't think he fully gets that, like, they're not good people. Like, I think he's so caught up in the fact that it's cool, he doesn't realize that they're not, it's not good. It's not a good thing to be, you know?
I think I remember reading that Alan Moore said one time that he was at a comic book convention, which was very rare. Like, I think that was towards, like, coming to an end. Somebody comes up, and they're just like, I love, you know, talking about Watchmen. I identify with Rorschach. I am Rorschach. And Alan Moore's like, huh, I may have made a mistake.
Yeah.
Like, I did not, you know, like, it's
totally.
The Joker problem, right?
Yeah.
Like, where people are identifying. I've had this argument recently where it makes me sick, honestly, to see people put the Joker Harley relationship up on a pedestal.
Yeah,
where it's
totally.
Like, this is so good. I was like, it's not good. Like, he broke her brain and he abuses. Like, he's terrible. He destroyed that woman.
He's so next level manipulative that he convinced a
brilliant psychologist,
a psychological professional. Right? Like, she's like, she's not just some like barista. He met. No offense to baristas, but she's a trained professional in the ways of sociopaths.
Yeah,
and she's. Still got sucked in.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And like,
so
that's a tragic story.
It's an awful story. And I like that. I don't like that she's a hero now, but I do like that they've broken them apart in all mediums. She's not with him in the comics. She's not with him in the movies.
Yeah.
You know, so, which is fine. The problem that, going back to the Zack Snyder thing, is where he does kind of get the, the idea of Watchmen or the idea of 300, that idea doesn't work here. Like these heroes aren't, with the exception of Batman, aren't dark and gritty and right. brooding. Like they, I know that I have gone back and forth with listeners about this, but this is not my Superman. Like my Superman doesn't yeah. worry about what was the, whatever the senator was in BVS, where it's like, do we really need him? He's like, no, I don't care. Like I'm just here to help, you know,
yeah.
like I'm not here to do anything bad. You should take my word for it, but I'm not gonna do anything bad.
And I think
dark and gloom just doesn't work.
Yeah, I agree. And I didn't like putting him in the black outfit. Like I didn't like the black outfit when it was in the comics, although at least it made a little bit more sense there. And it was certainly better yeah. than the electrical outfit.
Which is how they got him to cut his mullet off.
Yeah.
They put him in that suit to cut. Yeah. So there's a plus.
Yeah, and you got to take the good with the bad. But I, yeah, right. but like if I was in charge of this franchise, that the when that 20-minute segment where it turns into a heist movie as they're stealing Superman's body.
Right.
That should be an entire movie. Right.
Of them just trying to steal Superman's body?
Of them trying to get Superman's body back, right? Like okay. like so they can bring him back. And then it ends with him with them succeeding, but oh no, what have we done? Right? Like that
Pet Cemetery Superman.
Yeah, right? Like that like that should be a whole movie. Like they're so rushing through this that like there's yeah. a lot of meat on this bone of a story to tell. And it's like if you got a whole, I mean, think of Rogue One, but it's to get Superman body back, right?
That's like, good. That's good.
That's a good, that like, that, yeah, that's a good elevator sure. pitch right there, you know?
Yeah.
And like, cause that part, I really dug that part where like they're working as a team and they're engaged with each other and the dialogue is bouncing back and forth, and it's, you know what I mean? Like it felt like I was actually watching a movie.
Sure.
Know?
Sure.
You know,
sure, sure.
In a good way. And I really dug that part, and they needed more of that. And then it was weird that they bring him back and the first thing he does is break into a house. Like they go back to
and
the
Lois
farm.
Knows. And Lois knows at this point that they have lost the farm.
Yeah, and I'm like, but and then they're there, and then the mom shows up, and they're on.
I will say that scene, like that, got me for whatever reason. I don't yeah. know why, but like when he's out in the field and she walks up, and he's like, I take that as a yes, and it's like, this is Superman. Like this is the Superman that I've been looking for
yeah.
for three movies. And then when Martha or Diane Lane runs up and there's like a big embrace, and he's just and I like where he says, look, they brought me back for a reason and I got to go. And it's like, OK, like this is my Superman. And you get that Superman going forward, but you only see him in flashes, you know,
right?
No pun intended.
Totally. I would. But see, this is where like humor could benefit a movie like this, because it would be like as he's leaving to be like, well, we should get going. Like, I mean, we are trespassing. Like, this, like,
sure, sure. Right. Right.
They're
right.
there for That's like good. An hour. And I'm like, you guys,
did you know she's pregnant?
You don't own this place anymore. Right. Who? Amy Adams, I'm assuming.
In this movie, like not physically, like Lois Lane is pregnant.
No, I did not know that.
There's a scene apparently that I just zoned out, where she's got a pregnancy test and you can and like. Zack Snyder has said in the third Justice League movie, their son was going to end up becoming Batman. Like the son of Lois and Clark
yeah.
was going to become Batman. It's like, all right, Zack, like you dodged a bullet sort of with this 4-hour cut of this movie.
Yeah.
Let's not go crazy. You know, like
they
I should have
just
to see
if they want to do that. Then they should have called it Justice League Elseworlds.
Yeah, like and that's kind of, I feel like, what we're doing with Matt Reeves's Batman,
yeah.
where it seems to be doing its own thing, which is fine. I don't
right.
have a problem with that. And then whatever this Ta-Nehisi Coates, what's the guy, J.J. Abrams Superman movie is, whatever this is,
yeah,
like it just seems like they're doing their own thing, which is fine. I, as much as I would love to see Clark Kent on screen, you know, in a good movie, I don't care enough at this point in, I'm not invested enough in the DC franchise
right.
to bitch about it, you know?
Yeah. It's just, yeah. It's just like, whatever, man, just do.
Right. Yeah.
Do,
and then you saw that we had this trailer for the new Suicide Squad that I'm like, oh, it's a rated R Guardians. It's a rated R Guardians. That's all it is.
Gotcha.
To the point where they even bring in Sylvester Stallone to do the Groot thing with King Shark. Like,
oh,
that's
yeah.
Like down to the T of what he did in Guardians, which is fine. Guardians is great. But yeah, it's I did go back and like watch snippets of this movie and I was like, "Okay, there's a lot of things that I did like." But this just isn't my...
Which is why it needs an editor. Like, doesn't need to be 4 hours. It needs to be... If you tighten this up, there's something here. But it's too much, you know?
Yeah, I would agree.
And we'll talk about a missed opportunity. Three mother boxes. Three
yes.
of them. Not one of them named Martha.
What are the chances?
I can't wait.
We don't want them to come together.
Yeah. You know? I can't wait for the porn parody when they're MILF boxes
or DILF boxes. Maybe you have like two MILFs and a DILF. I don't know. Like, you don't want to.
Hey, whatever you're into.
Yourself. Yeah, whatever you're into. Yeah,
pigeonhole. Is that what they're calling it?
Yeah, that's what they're calling it. That's what the kids are calling it now. You know, I'm happy for the people who wanted to see this movie who weren't scumbags about it.
Yeah,
you know. I'm happy you got your movie, and I'm happy that you loved it. And here's the other question, though, is where people are like, we want Justice League 2. How much money could this have possibly made? $0, right? Like, there's no way this movie made money.
Well, you mean...
Like, how do you recoup the budget for this?
You mean for the Zack Snyder version?
Yes.
Okay, so my guess is, by their metrics, it probably did. What did they spend, like $80 million on it?
Yeah, something like that. I think so.
To finish it? So,
yeah.
Okay, so look at it this way. They spent $80 million on this movie. But the other one, up till then, that's sunk costs, right? Like, that's already
that's fair.
On a ledger column been attributed to the original Justice League, right?
Right.
To the Justice League, right?
Justice League. Oh, yeah.
I saw someone say that on Twitter. I did not coin that.
I can't take credit for that.
Yes. So that's a sunk cost. So from HBO Max's perception, they spent $80 million on this movie.
Okay.
Netflix spent, what, $100 million on Bright. Which do you think had a bigger impact?
That's a good point.
On subscriptions. Do you think
that's fair?
Do you think Justice League benefited HBO Max more or less than Bright benefited Netflix?
I mean,
it's gotta be more.
Thing is, yeah, has to
it's
be.
Gotta
there's no,
be more.
There's nobody signed up for Netflix to watch Bright.
Right. And so,
and we even had people on the Facebook group saying, should I sign up for HBO Max to watch Justice League?
Right. And
you know,
and so I mean, it has to benefit them, you know. That this has to be a net gain for HBO Max is my
that's
opinion.
Fair.
Because,
that's fair.
Because HBO Max is a good streaming service. There's
it's
lots
a great
of
streaming
good,
service. Yeah, I agree.
Lots of good stuff on there. Lots of good stuff. And so if it gets people over the hump, and then while they've got, even if they're just doing a 30-day free trial, they dig around, I think a lot of people are going to stick around. And
but does that warrant a Justice League 2 and a 3?
That I don't know, and I especially because I can't figure out what the metrics is on this, like, you know, in terms of streaming, because that's the thing too. Right now, the metric is, did it bring in new subscribers? Okay, but at some point, you can only bring in so many more new subscribers, right?
Like, right.
So I don't even know how you gauge of like, well, then maybe we kept 10 million subscribers around for an extra 3 months. Is that worth it? Like, I don't know how you figure out the math on that. Like,
the whole streaming system is very weird.
And I've never been able to figure out how HBO figured out the math in the first place on like something like Game of Thrones, on how much people, is it worth to spend that much money to keep, you know, because so
and
many
that
people,
was pre, that was even pre, I think those first three or four seasons aren't even like before they had HBO Go.
Yeah.
Like you still had to have, like you had to be subscribed to HBO on
yes,
your TV.
You actually, right. Yeah, and so, but at least if you subscribed to HBO to watch Game of Thrones, they had you for, you know, 2.5-3 months.
Yeah, sure.
You know, but yeah, so I don't know how they figure that out. And clearly they've got a way. I don't know what it is. I don't understand it, but they have a way. But I think at some point there's going to be diminishing returns. HBO Max is a new series and they are, you know, a new subscription service and they need to
right.
bring in a lot of new people. But once they get a bunch of new people, is it worth it? But, you know, maybe this will, but maybe, you know, post pandemic, you get a sequel, but it goes to theaters. You know,
yeah, like, maybe. I don't like, even, that's the thing though, right?
I don't like, even think restoring the Snyderverse is the worst idea. I just don't like how douchey they go about it.
That's
you know?
The problem. That is, I'm with you. Like, it's like, I understand DC versus Marvel has always been a thing. For the,
absolutely. Absolutely. That's always. Part of the fun. It's Ford versus Chevy. And, you know, like,
right, right.
Who cares? But it's like, you know, if you're at the store with your kid, you know, they're six, and they say, Dad, can I get a pack of gum? Versus, give me that pack of gum. I mean,
right.
which kid are you giving the pack of gum, right?
And, yeah, no, and, totally. That's exactly right.
And these Snyder fans, they don't deserve a pack of gum.
No. And I okay, so
even when it's
I'm
not a ridiculous request, you know?
Yeah, right, right. I do think, because there are people in the group and that are good folks. And there has been some really good back and forth.
Sure.
Between mostly me, because yeah. I'm that kind of guy. Totally just teasing, right? Like it's
right.
good-hearted fun. I don't mean any, but when you start review bombing a movie that has nothing to do with your
right.
movie or the movie that you want, like Godzilla versus King Kong has been in the can for at least a year.
Right.
Right? Like it has nothing to do with it. And I think that as much as I appreciate that this movie got, that Justice League got put out for people to see, I think it does set a dangerous precedent
yeah.
for toxic fandom to think that they can be as loud as they want and they'll get what they
yeah.
want. Like a petulant child.
You know, we started touching on this earlier and we got sidetracked though, but like, man, how inefficient is the filmmaking system that there was this much of a movie in existence that was just sitting there?
Just sitting there.
You know, I mean, like that's...
How many other movies are done and in a can that we don't even know about?
Yeah, or how many, you know, like it's... You know, like how maddening must it have been for the actors in this film to know what they shot and then
right.
and then go see the release of the movie originally of Justice League and they're like, what is this? You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
It's
crazy because that whole opening sequence. I didn't think about it until you just said this. That whole opening sequence in the Justice League is reshoots.
Yeah,
the whole him Superman on the kid's phone with the lip, like that's all reshoots. And then the Flash race at the end, and
yeah,
you know, like the "Do you bleed" line, that's not from like Snyder cut.
Yeah,
like that's the Justice cut, and it's just if I were Henry Cavill and that whole cast, and you're sitting in a theater and this version comes up, I'd have to be livid.
Yeah, I also wonder like. From a business standpoint, what sort of deals they make with these actors? Because it's like they basically had them shoot the equivalent of like three movies.
Oh, for sure. You think? Oh, you're saying like this takes up three movies of your?
Well, this counts as two, right? It's 4 hours long, and then,
I don't know how it can't.
And then on top of it, there's another, you know, the movie that came out originally that bears almost no resemblance to this thing.
Yeah,
and so I just find it fascinating, like how much footage they're shooting, like not just from different angles or slightly different versions of scenes, or give me that with a slightly different read, you know,
right.
like this, like they shot from a running time standpoint, they shot three movies, maybe four.
Oh, easily.
And it
yeah, that's a good question. I wonder if you could like get a Hollywood lawyer and says, no, like
yeah.
my client has 10 movies on his deal. You've shot the equivalent
right.
of four, so he's got six left.
Or maybe you get him for, you know, you get him for 8 weeks and as much as you can film in 8 weeks. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
It also shows you how much of these movies, and I think this is kind of what I complain about when I talk about, you know, I feel like they write action scenes and then they try to get from point A to point B, and that's not as super important, you know, no pun intended.
Sure.
is how much of these these, how much these movies are constructed in editing, right?
Like, oh, it's like, yeah, absolutely.
Just shoot a bunch of stuff, and then we'll piece it together in the editing room and make it quote unquote make sense. And
right.
And that's not what Marvel's doing, right? Marvel has a story that they're telling there where these
there's
feel,
no Favreau cut.
Yeah, where these are like they shoot a bunch of stuff. And then right. they're like, okay, well, we got to use this scene where they fight the big bad. So how do we get them there? Okay, well, then we'll, you know, this scene, we can tweak this, but maybe we throw in this extra line, and now it means this other thing, and now they're
right.
there. Now cut to them. Now cut to the action scene that's finished.
Yeah, that's a crazy point. And I mean, I think of a guy like Tarantino who kind of like is involved, or Kevin Smith to a degree, where they're involved heavily in the editing,
yeah.
right? Like Kevin Smith is the writer, producer, director.
Because they're
so
telling
the
story, right? They've got a story.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And where Tarantino, I'm pretty sure he had an editor or has an editor, but something tells me that he's pretty heavily involved in that process because he also has a story he's trying to tell.
Totally.
Which is why we get
Just switch editors not too long ago? Or did his editor's choice die? Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the last one she did was Inglourious Basterds, maybe?
Okay.
Or Django. Either way, like, he's got a story he's trying to tell
right.
in those movies, right? Where in Justice League or any Marvel movie, you've got, like, I mean, we joked about it on Spider-Man Homecoming when that movie had, like, six writers.
Yeah.
You know, and usually that's a bad
typically
sign.
Typically it is. And
but
I think that's
reason,
just that was in production hell for a while, and so there were people they had to pay.
Right, who's like, this is my idea.
Yeah.
This one scene was my idea, so that counts.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think now that I'm talking about it, you're probably right. Edit this thing down to 3 hours, and you've got a tight, good movie. And I think it's funny that there's almost a kind of meta moment where the Flash and Cyborg are digging up Superman's grave.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, we could just do this really fast and be done, right? Like, we could, you know, you can make a shovel out of your hand or
yeah.
just do it really fast, you know? So I was like, can you do that? Just get that done? Like, I think we could just get this moving. Can you call the Green Lantern? Can we bring him back?
Yeah.
And, you know,
I do
something?
I feel like, speaking of Cyborg, I feel like they made him way too powerful.
He was definitely overpowered.
Yeah.
From what I remember. And I've never been a huge Cyborg fan, but I was a Teen Titans fan. Like that Marvel
Same.
And George Perez run.
Absolutely.
Is
I got
good.
Them all, man. I got them all.
It's so good. And he was kind of always there, but he was never to this level.
Yeah.
You know?
Especially with basically, well, I think because the world wasn't as digitally based when that character
That's
was
true.
Created. So now
That's
they're
fair.
Basically like, oh, and you also control all of the internet. And like, well, holy crap. Like, that's godlike
right.
power in the world we live in. And so I thought that was, they made him too powerful.
I would agree.
You know.
When he's given that gal. I do think it's also funny. Every city looks the same.
Yeah.
So Metropolis looks just like Gotham. And then Gotham looks just like Central City.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I you can just say you shot wherever you wanted to shoot. But I guess the main question is, did you see the cameo coming? Did you know that cameo was going to happen?
With the
Martian Manhunter?
No, I did not. And I don't know that I really fully get the point.
He's one of the seven. Like, he's the last piece.
No, and I get that, but like, as a film goer, like, the average person has never heard of Martian Manhunter.
See, okay, so that's where I'm going to disagree, only because he was a main character on that Justice League TV show, the cartoon.
Okay.
And I do feel like there's a large, large, large audience of people that watch that show that know who that character is.
Okay.
And I could be projecting because he's a character that I enjoy.
I like,
you know,
I like the
possible.
Character. I like Martian Manhunter as a character. It's a dumb name, but I,
sure.
And they even know it's a dumb name in the post-credit scenes or whatever you want to call that, the epilogue where he's just like, some call me Martian Manhunter. Like, I feel like that was their way of saying, like,
or
for
John
him to
Jones.
Be like, for him to be like, I'm Martian Manhunter. They're like, that sounds dumb. Like, we can't.
That's a dumb name.
That's a dumb name. But I was glad they brought him back at the end, because I was like, if you don't know who Martian Manhunter is, like, that scene, you're just like, did a bad guy just...
Yeah, is he the bad guy? What are we doing?
Yeah, like, because he comes out and his eyes are glowing red, and, like, normally that means bad guy. And it's like, because my wife was like, what the hell was that? And I was like, oh, that's Martian Manhunter. And she's just like, well, that's a dumb name. And I was like, you're not wrong. And then I was like, but he's a good guy. Well, why would he do that? Yeah. I'm like, I don't know. But he is a good guy. Like, he's not trying to do harm here. And she's like, okay. But I guess, whatever. But I guess we should.
I thought it was fun. That was a good little.
Yeah, I guess let's hit the big battle in the epilogue so we can.
Yeah,
we don't.
So
need,
I mean, the big battle is pretty much the same. I do like that we get to see Darkseid, which is he's a very cool looking character. I think he looks good in this movie.
Yeah.
I like seeing Desaad and Granny Goodness. Like, that was all fine and dandy. And then we get where they kind of lose, and then they flash it, and he turns time back, and they fix it.
Yeah.
And pushes everybody back, and they kind of win the day. This scene is, I mean, with the exception of a couple edits, this scene is almost shot for shot what we saw in the 2017 version. The Superman entrance is a little bit different. In this one, they don't use the John Williams score. Because in that one, they did the Danny Elfman score, and they did the Batman 89 and Superman 78, which are both beginning comic book series coming up here in a little bit, which is kind of fun. So all of that's gone. The suit is... I do find it interesting that the scenes where we see Superman, they must have just edited the suit. Like, that's the only thing I could think, is they just edited the black suit red and blue.
Well, yeah, because I mean, for the Justice I don't cut. Think he's wearing a suit in real life, right? Like, he's wearing like...
Oh, I think he is. I think he's wearing the... Oh, you think it's just like a green bodysuit?
It's like a green bodysuit, and then they just like layer that over it.
I thought it was just like, okay, it could be. You could be right. It could be like the Green Lantern thing.
Yeah.
Except done
better. That was my thought, like what they were doing. So it's real easy. They could, you know, they could dress him up like little Bo Peep.
That'd be interesting. Have him fly in the scene like that. Yeah, right. Yeah. And then I think the epilogues are all pretty much the same as well. You get what was going to set up the Ben Affleck Batman movie, where Lex has escaped and tells Deathstroke, played by Joe Manganiello.
But then they play it like it's a dream.
You mean the nightmare thing?
Yeah, we're...
No. The joke with Lex and Deathstroke, that's real.
Oh, that was real. It was the Joker.
It was the
scene
nightmare.
That they played like it was a dream. Okay.
Yes. So, and then, yeah, we do get a redux of the nightmare sequence from BVS, right? Yeah. And I said on the last one, if I would have gotten this version of the Joker, sign me up.
I don't know. All I could think the whole time is like, oh, that's cool that they got Jim Carrey to play the Joker. Like, he sounded like Jim Carrey. Like,
he did, and he looked a little bit like Jim Carrey. That's fair. That's totally fair.
I was like, this is pretty bad.
I didn't think it was bad. Because I think the version of the Suicide Squad Joker was so bad, like, this quasi-subdued version of him worked. You know, like, I like that he's antagonizing Batman without antagonizing Batman. Like, he's, you know,
it was fun to hear Batman say jokes. That was fun.
when he does say it, I was like, all right, that was a choice. Thank you very much, I guess.
But in
this nightmare world, I guess.
To me, it was like, it was more stuff that they hadn't earned. Like, they're telling
That's
us
fair.
About it.
That's
they're
totally
telling us
fair.
About a dead Robin, and they haven't even introduced Robin, right? Like,
no. We see in BVS, we see Bruce standing in front of a Robin suit that's like spray painted. Ha 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 ha.
Oh, that's
so
right.
he's got that suit in the which is Dick Grayson. Like, they've said that that the Robin that the Joker killed is Dick Grayson. It's like, also, sorry, editor guy, fuck you.
Yeah.
It's not. It's Jason Todd. Like, don't screw with my Nightwing just to make your movie cooler.
Right.
Like, they killed Jimmy Olsen. Like, go away.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I liked this version. If this had been the version that we got in Suicide Squad, maybe he would have been more tolerable. Maybe. then we get the same sequence from the Justice League with Bruce and Clark talking about the house, which I think is a great scene.
Yeah.
Like, seeing them as friends – kind of making jokes and jabs back and forth. I thoroughly enjoy them together. This, I feel bad for Affleck. Like, that's what I took away from this movie.
Yeah.
Is he's a much better Bruce Wayne and Batman in this movie than he was in the Justice League.
He was never the problem. And I like when Alfred gives him trouble about, like, yeah, like, maybe you're not the guy to inspire people to join
yeah,
the team.
Yeah, right, right.
Do you ever think about that? Like, that's, I thought that was a good moment. And
I like them together. Like, yeah. They worked better together here.
My wife got so frustrated in the scene where Wonder Woman's trying to make tea and Alfred is, like, trying to show her how to make the tea.
Because I did like that.
She didn't realize that it was Alfred. And she was just, like, getting so mad that he was, like, mansplaining how to make tea. And
sure,
I was like,
sure.
I'm like, no, honey, I'm like, the point of the scene is he's Alfred. Like, that's the butler. It's his job to buttle. And
he's the British butler.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, okay. And I was like, this isn't like him being a dick. It's like him being like, no, I'm the butler. Like, let me do that.
And you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, that's my job. Like, that's, right. You know. But yeah. I also thought it was a missed opportunity when Bruce Wayne is like, you know, oh, I bought the bank. I thought it would have been a nice moment to have a callback. But this is the problem when you're assembling your narrative in the editing, right?
Right.
For him to be like, I keep telling you people, I'm rich. Like, that's because I thought that was a great line when Flash asks him what a superpower is, and he's like, I'm rich. And
I get a lot of Tony Stark, Peter Parker vibes from that relationship,
yeah,
which is they're definitely going for that vibe. But I did like that line.
Yeah.
Where he's just like, I'm rich. And again, like, I have been a huge fan of Ben Affleck pretty much for his entire career.
Yeah. I always thought Ben Affleck, I've always been like, why is there so much hate for Ben Affleck? Like, I
don't get. He's kind of bro-y. I get that
a little bit, but
he used to be. I don't think he's as much anymore. But this should have. I feel bad. Like this movie sent him in a spiral, or at least his spiral kind of came after.
Yeah, it's hard not to connect the two. Yeah.
Yes. Right. And he deserved better. Like I thought he was a much. In the Zack Snyder version, he's a much better Batman. He's a much better Bruce. He's got a lot more to do. He's not making jokes while he's in the suit. Again, I said, if Lois could stop calling him Clark when he's floating in the air, I'm like, can you just call him Superman or Kal-El or something?
Well,
stop using his real name.
At the end when Martian Manhunter shows up and he's like, hi, Bruce. And I'm like, shouldn't the first question be like, how do you know who I am? Like, how do
well,
you
I mean,
know
in all,
my
in all
secret
fairness,
identity?
I guess that's true. Yeah.
Like
he does just accept the fact that he called him Bruce.
Like, there's none of that in this movie. Like, he'll tell who he's Batman to anybody. He's like,
he doesn't care.
Or when he chucks the Batwing at the Batarang at the Flash. And I'm just like, good thing you were right. Like, you were right.
If you'd have been wrong and hit that poor kid in the face.
Yeah, you'd have killed the dude. Like, that's, you know, like,
with your knifey batarang.
Yeah. Luckily, it's a Zack Snyder Batman, so he'll kill.
Worry about it.
Yeah.
That's
so
no
it's just
deal.
One more notch on the belt. Everybody makes
just
a mistake.
Just having some fun with it.
Yeah. But it was just like, ooh, that's a bit of a gamble. Like, you better.
Yeah, it was a bold move on your part, Bats.
Yeah. But brave and bold.
But yeah, I think. Oh,
thank you.
That was good. That was good. Yeah, and that's there's. It was definitely setting up for a part two.
Yeah,
that we're never gonna get.
Think
maybe.
Of, like how
maybe.
4 hours? It is a part two. It is.
That's, I guess that's
it's
true.
It's
a part
own
two
part,
and three.
It's its like, own part two. Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. So
Justice League.
Yeah. Like I said at the beginning, just because one thing is better than another thing doesn't mean either of those things is good.
Right.
And this could have, like I said, there's good stuff in here. It's certainly better than the other one. I still it needs to be tightened up. It's excessive. Like 3 hours of Infinity War or Endgame didn't feel anywhere close to as long as this did.
Nope, I totally agree.
And I feel like watching Infinity and Endgame back to back would feel like a shorter runtime than this movie.
I can make an argument for that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And those are better movies. I'm sorry. Like,
yeah,
those are just,
they are.
They're well crafted. All your characters are there. Everybody has a part to play.
Yeah. And because they all came from other movies, like you can use the knowledge that you have from those movies to afford relationships and lines and storylines within this larger narrative, where this movie has to keep stopping to, oh, here's how Cyborg became Cyborg, and here's how, you know,
here's not the origin of the Flash.
Right. Yeah. Like they have to keep stopping to give you many movies within the movies. And sometimes here's that can work. And it did not for this. Even if I enjoyed those moments, it was still like, this should have been a whole other movie.
Right.
And then we don't have to have this conversation.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
In the middle of this movie. And so that, you know, that was frustrating.
Yeah, and I feel like they've course corrected, right? Like they have. Aquaman is not this style of movie. Birds of Prey is nothing like this. And Shazam, I think those three movies are good movies. I enjoy.
When we were talking about Aquaman, good movies, I meant to mention Shazam as an example of like not great, but like good and fun.
Fun, yeah. All three of them. I think Birds of Prey has its problems. I think Aquaman. All three of them have their problems, but they are solid entries into this world. So we've got The Suicide Squad by James Gunn in August, I think. Wonder Woman 84 was a train wreck. That was not good. Yeah. You can go back and find that episode. We've got the Black Adam movie and a Shazam 2, and I think there's an Aquaman 2 and a Flash that sounds like it may be a Flashpoint movie.
Yeah.
Maybe. Like that might reset the whole thing. So we've got a bunch more DC stuff in the pipeline. If you are jonesing for something Superman related, Superman and Lois on the CW is top notch. Like if you want the version, the Christopher Reeve Superman mixed with a little bit of Zack Snyder, give that a go. Like it's really
and on
good.
The upside with Zack Snyder's Justice League, if you liked it but you wished it was more pretentious, it's now available in black and white. So
what the
enjoy.
So stupid.
To me,
so stupid.
You know how I interpret that?
No.
There's a version of events where this movie was only going to be in black and white.
Oh, you think so?
I do, and I think WB was Warner Brothers was
God.
Like, No, that's a bridge too far. Like, we gave you the 4:3, but look, we'll release it in black and white too, but we're not releasing this thing only in black and white.
Oh my God, that was...
I think he wanted to release this entirely in black and white. That is my guess.
Yikes.
Just because it's the kind of thing he would do.
No, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yep, I agree with you. Yikes.
So,
thank God that didn't happen.
Yeah. So anyway, I guess that's it for this one. I just realized we didn't introduce ourselves at the beginning. So, but what are you going to do? So
what are you going to do?
I guess until next week, where can people find you, Joe?
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, you can find the show online, Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. Wherever you're getting your podcast from, be sure and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And, of course, check out our Patreon at Patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Superman is Clark Kent.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned ya. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.